welcome Bertrand Allard. It is your first meeting, but you attended a couple of meetings ago as an observer, so you're familiar with the group.
Thank you.
Okay, the next topic, IS7, statement of cash flows.
Is really just to provide you with an overview of the amendments that were issued at the end of January on the statement of cash flows. The aim of those amendments was to improve information about changes in liabilities arising from financing activities, and they were very much aimed at trying to respond to some of the investors' requests, so we thought it would be useful to just recap on those on how we developed the standard from the exposure draft, and then just take some of your feedback. So we'll quickly go through on the changes we've made between the exposure draft and the standard, and then get your feedback on those.
Thanks, Michelle. So we provided a slide there which explains the evolution of the project, but we can, I think, move to slide number 6, which explains the feedback that we got for the exposure draft and the resulting changes that we made to the original proposal. One thing to note is that the core concepts that we developed in the exposure draft remains the same, but of course there were requests to make some clarifications. And as you can see, on the feedback column, we have two folds of major points, and that's clarifying that the proposal in the ED were not too restrictive for preparers to provide additional information and not to make it too flexible so as to provide what you normally know as a net debt reconciliation. So we wanted to make sure that it's properly messaged in the final amendment. There was also concerns about the usefulness of this particular disclosure, whether it's useful, for example, for financial institutions and particular industries. And so we wanted to make sure that we allow the entities to think about how they provide the disclosure, what information they would provide, and clarify that there's an objective within the requirement that they can take direction from, and to make sure that the objective is clearly stated in the final amendment. So those were the major changes that we did make. Other than that, there were other concerns. The board deliberated over the last quarter of 2015 over those concerns, and then we were able to address them in the staff papers that preceded. So those were the kind of the summary of the first proposal that we took into the exposure draft. There was another proposal which was on the restriction matters that would the user might consider when it comes to cash and cash reports. So additional information on cash and cash reports that would be useful for the investors. And the feedback that we got is illustrated in slide number 8. And as you can see, there were concerns regarding the wording, the word description, how is it used in other places within IFRS literature, about the numerous ways that an entity might be able to settle its debt. Is it just repatriation? Are there other ways of doing it? And if so, does this amendment cover all those other alternatives? And the fact that the cash and cash report, the terminology that we have used, but it's too restrictive, whether there are other assets available for the entity in order to settle there. So there were concerns regarding the original amendment, and upon hearing that, again, these proposals were brought to the CMAC as well, and we heard from the CMAC members that there were a lot of information that they would retrieve out of this particular amendment. Although the direction was praised, the terminology and the way we framed it needed more work, and the board decided that further work should be taken upon this direction. So in the final amendments, in the final standard that we issued in late January, the proposal was not taken into those. But in other terms, we received feedback to maybe consider these proposals under a broader liquidity disclosure venture. So right now, we are awaiting feedback from the attendant consultation, and probably after that, there will be more discussion in this direction. So those were the two major, the two proposals that we took in. I would hand over to Michelle to take you through the final phase of the session.
So in slide 9, you've just summed up to say that, as I said, the aim was to respond to the requests from users to better understand an entity's debt. I think we've been able to do that, and we were able to bring examples to you, and we had very useful discussions at the joint GPF-CMAC meeting. We had a lot of support for the proposals during the exposure draft stage from investors who were able to, because of that support, we were able to move the proposals forward. And some of that was, we had an article written by a group of investors that Barbara was able to publish on her website. We had a lot of support from in Europe when we weren't getting as much support in Europe for the proposals as we had anticipated. So we thought this would be useful just to ask the CMAC members for your comments on the approach we took to developing these proposals, given we were aiming to respond to your requests, and whether there were things you thought we did well, and whether there were things that we might do better next time. So it's over to you guys.
Bring up
very hesitantly, yes. I like the solution you come up with the availability of any restriction to pay down debt. But maybe there's not that much debt, and still you would want to know whether there is restriction to stream up cash to the ultimate parent. And I just wonder, how do you accommodate for the situation where there's maybe 2 billion of cash and only half a billion of debt? Because then you have to make an artificial assumption, well, suppose there is debt and can we pay that down, but then you need to make, an additional requirement that should be issued at the holding company, that hypothetical debt that you need to take into account should be issued from the holding company, because what I see with the way you framed it is, I think it's the right direction, but for me as an investor, I think the perspective of the availability of the cash in the holding company is that's the thing I'm looking for. If it's available in the holding company, ultimate parent, then it's available to the group. And that's like a comforting thing.
And I think that was the problem with the second part of the proposals in the ED. I think everybody knows what they want, but everybody wants something a little bit different. So some people said, well, just give me the split of cash between the parent and the subsidiaries. Some people said, just give me the geographical split. What we proposed in the exposure draft was about identifying cash that had restrictions on it. And what preparers said was, for us to work out what cash has got restrictions, there are multiple ways we can repatriate cash, and all of those different scenario planning would need to be done. So I think we all had a clear idea of what we wanted. We just didn't have a way of articulating clearly that we could write a clear standard for the disclosures. And I think that's why we recommended to the board that we carried on with this project, and we looked about the information that you want that enables you to do that liquidity assessment. And I agree there's still some work to do there. And it could be, a first step could be analyse cash between the parent and the subsidiaries.
So can I say that in this session, the staff, I'm assuming, will be happy to hear comments about other issues, but that we shouldn't have a discussion about it in this session is my assumption for the staff, so that if members want to say briefly something they think is relevant to the new amendments.
Because we can come back and
focus
on the other part of the project, because that's still a long time.
So it's true. I appreciate that it's important, and I don't want to discourage people, but because of the time, I don't think we should get into the discussion. So I think the people who have something to say, if you want to say it briefly. And as the chair, I'm speaking on behalf of the chair.
As you all are aware of. I'm really thrilled about this, because roughly 85-90% of the Swedish companies actually already present debt in some form. Net debt or interest-bearing debt, gross or net. So it will be interesting to see how that figure compares to the figure that they come up with in the cash flow statement. Because if it's good, it will be the same figure. But it will be very interesting to see actually what kind of separation they do in the cash flow statement. Because I don't really think they have thought it through what they present in the cash flow statement as financing, actually. So it will be very interesting to see. And I think definitely to separate the two, debt and liquidity is the best thing to do when you go forward.
So a couple of comments. I think more information about liquidity, more information about debt is important and necessary. I'm concerned about how you write the standard that doesn't require professional judgment. I actually disagree. I don't think users know what they want. What they want depends on the facts and circumstances. And so that's why you're getting sort of different. I don't believe that users come out with radically different opinions. I think that they're looking at different situations. So the fact pattern is different, so they're asking for different things in different fact patterns. And I think you need a lot of, I think you need to tease out the whys before you try and write the standard. And I actually think that the best solution is to come back with a series of structured questions to this group and let us help you figure out how we would analyze different situations and what type of information we would need to the situation. And because Peter's intimidated me, I'll stop.
After my little speech, I actually have one of the CMAC members sent me comments on this, so I'll just feed it back in the public session, but not to have, you know, a discussion. So Mitch, since he can't be here today, this morning, but he represents the credit investor, what would like me to say first that he's commending the ISB for making these amendments, because disclosing these changes to debt is an excellent complement to the statement of cash flows and to the balance sheet. However, as a credit investor, requiring companies to break down the cash balance in terms of availability, so overnight cash, restricted cash, cash held in foreign jurisdictions that are subject to punitive withholding taxes, et cetera, would allow the credit investors to more accurately price the financial risk of companies. So he would strongly encourage the ISB to make a further amendment to require this disclosure, because it would be of great use to the credit investors. So we can add that to your list of concerns.
Just a quick comment. In spite of my dissent, I would like to congratulate the victory of users group. I think this is very important. One comment I would like to make here is the mentality of preparers. And preparers is in the dilemma of compliance and communications. So once it's a standard, they have to comply with the standard. But they would like to communicate, they would like to have an effective communication with users because it is the benefit of preparers, issuers. So therefore, what the preparer wants is, what is the need of the users? Why do users need this information? Once they know the point of the needs, then preparer would be very happy to prepare it, even if it's burdensome. So therefore, actually, this amendment is trying to achieve that. Although it was a very difficult job, but you know, to provide what is the point of the user's need is the kind of the role of the standard. So I would like to congratulate a staff member, in spite of my dissent.